Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
Very, very good morning to you, and welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. This 27th day of April, beautiful spring day today here in Greenville. It's currently 48 degrees this morning. It's going to get up to a high of 67 degrees and generally be sunny today. They said there's actually a chance of a lingering shower here or there, isolated shower. But for the most part, that means you're going to have a beautiful spring day. Love April in South Carolina. It's just a beautiful time of year. And today we have a couple of interesting things to start off the show with, I suppose, just some letters and whatnot from folks. My research staff wanted me to remind folks of a new vocabulary word. I think some of the folks in the TRN research department think that either I, the Tyranny Response Unit, or you, the listener, needs to increase his vocabulary. And here the word for the day is adduce. To offer as evidence, to offer something as proof. So you want to know what that word adduce means, offering as evidence or offering something as proof, and we would hope that we would do this every day, as they noted for me. I want to remind you folks once again that there is the Institute on the Constitution that's occurring every Monday night in Pelzer, South Carolina, at 203 Ina Marie Lane. That's the South Point Baptist Church. Be sure to attend the Institute on the Constitution every Monday evening, starting at about 7 o'clock and going to 8:30. It's been an excellent opportunity to have great discussions about Christian theology of public policy, and hope you can attend. I've only been able to make one of the meetings, but the one that I attended was very informative, very interesting, good interaction with about 50 or so people that were there in attendance. If you want information about it, call Pastor Tony Romo at 864-269-1443 for information or register. That's 864-269-1443. Also want to give a plug for the Times Examiner. Hope the Times Examiner got published yesterday or printed yesterday. What I understand, they were having some trouble doing that yesterday when I called, and we hope that those woes have passed and they've actually been able to pull it off. This week's edition is a special edition because I believe it will be featuring Mr. Joshua Coben's Eagle Scout project and his getting the award of being an Eagle Scout and his future plans. That's right. That's the firstborn son of the Tyranny Response Unit, first one to go off to college, and of course, first to be just about everything. That's the privilege of being a firstborn. You have lots of extra responsibilities. You know, some of you homeschool kids that are listening realize that being a firstborn isn't always a wonderful thing. But hey, what can you do about it? You're firstborn. You're firstborn. The Times Examiner has great columnists also. It also has a number of local issues that are reported on. Christian Exodus members should be careful to make sure that you're reading the Times Examiner to know what's going on in Greenville, and also to know and be able to keep abreast of the great libertarian and true conservative columnists that are in there. Now, you will still find neocons in there, people that have kind of different ideas than those would be expressed here on the Tyranny Response Network, but they're only some of the articles. Most of the stuff is good stuff, and you also have a fair number of people who are writing on topics like homeschooling, which are of very good, very great interest, neither and really no political slant one way or the other. You can reach the Times Examiner at 864-268-0576. Ask for Bob, Dill, or Laverle. 864-268-0576. The subscription is only $25 a year, or if you're out of state, $27. What a bargain, and that's delivered to your door every week for a year for that price. So by all means, get on the list if you aren't on it already and get a hold of the Times Examiner. Another worthy is the Nationalist Times. It's a politically incorrect monthly newspaper that has reported on the progress of the Christian Worldview program since it began. TRN listeners can obtain a free postpaid sample copy by calling Nelson at 864-642-4315. Visit the Times website, anu.org. Mention this ad for a big discount on your subscription. The Nationalist Times picks up where the liberal media leave off and salutes Dr. Coben's pioneering broadcast work. Had an interesting letter come in from the Political Cesspool. You remember, the Political Cesspool is this radio station operated by a couple of young men, quite impressive gentlemen, in Memphis. It's AM 1380 WLRM in Memphis, and they had me on the air live to discuss various things of importance to us, and we found a lot of commonality between their political points of view, their theology of revolution or Christian resistance and so forth, as I did, and not to mention historical facts about things like Abraham Lincoln or the war between the states. And he wrote me a letter, James Edwards, who was one of the hosts of the Political Cesspool, and he says, "Dear Dr. Coben, we sincerely appreciate you accepting our invitation to appear as a guest on the Political Cesspool. It was an honor to have had you on the program, and we trust that it was worth the sacrifice of time that you took out of your evening. It is our desire to keep the lines of communication open so that together we may keep the citizenry informed. If we may be of service to you in the future, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thanks again, most sincerely, James Edwards, host of the Political Cesspool." Gracious letter. And then he handwrote a little P.S. on there. He says, "I enjoyed our interview very much," and he underlined "very." Hopefully we can work together in the future. And I don't see why not, James. In fact, I hope that we can plan to do that. Our research staff made the initial contact with the Political Cesspool, and one of our researchers will no doubt be continuing to stay in touch, and perhaps we can do other shows like that once again. Appreciate the nice letter and nice support from another fellow traveler along this road through the Valley of the Shadow of Death. On one side, remember, it's the allusion of Pilgrim's Progress. You have the deep ditch that falls into the flames of hell, and on the other side you have the hobgoblins and the demons and those tempters coming up over the side to try to get you off the narrow way. Well, here at the Tyranny Response Network, we are traveling on the narrow way, and we're not interested in moving to either the right nor to the left, or to the left. We do not want to fall off into any kind of error, as the liberals have done on either side of us, those who have gone to tyranny or severe leftist doctrine, are both in a repugnant state as far as we're concerned, and we are doing our best to avoid either one of those problems here at the Tyranny Response Network, and especially with Christian worldview, because as Christians, we need to be especially careful about how we behave in society and to understand the vision of the founders, the vision of what Scripture would have for us to do in terms of our relationship to the state and our activities, and not only politically, but also in terms of economics, in terms of our thinking about politics, our activities, and from a day-to-day basis, and how we handle ourselves at work and what we do with our free time. These are important things, and we want to encourage Christians to be avid readers, well-informed, and thinking people, not just people who go along and follow the Pied Piper. So sad that Christians are commonly following after someone like George W. Bush today, this great imposter, as far as I can tell, who gives lip service to the faith and yet does really nothing to promote the true principles of the gospel or of what we might consider to be the vision of the founders in terms of government. He takes the clay, the Henry Clay, Alexander Hamilton, Abraham Lincoln, Teddy Roosevelt slant on everything, which is an interventionist foreign policy with a lot of liberal ideas of interventionism in business here and the production of scientific endeavors. He takes that to be very serious, as if it's somehow part of what government is supposed to be doing or the state is supposed to be doing. This is not the vision of the Founding Fathers. The Founding Fathers had a vision of a very limited state. They looked at, in fact, they didn't want a state at all. They just wanted government to have, and this government should have the authority to be able to do those things which would help protect us from predators and bring to justice those who were criminals and wanted to harm and take away our rights. They did not envision a proactive state which intrudes in people's lives, telling them how to control their behavior and telling people how they ought to indeed give up some of their wealth for the benefits or rights, so-called rights of other people. The old notion of positive rights, the whole notion of of having a government that's an intrusive force in people's lives came much later, and people like George W. Bush have caught on to this. Bill Clinton did, and all basically most of the presidents in the 20th century did the same thing. Ever since Abraham Lincoln and his destruction of the Constitution and his revolting attitude and his actions against liberty, we have never really recovered. It's been a downhill slide ever since. But we're here trying to reverse that tide. Can the tide be reversed? Well, under the providence of God, it can be, much as it was in 1776. And although there have been attempts to preserve that liberty, such as 1861 to 1865, it failed, and under the providence of God, that can happen as well. We'd like to be open to be used of the Lord to in whatever way we can to promote the original intent of the framers and to, again, revive in this land the vision of liberty, the vision of limited government and equality before the law. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Glad you're doing so this morning, and we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, P-R-O-S as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we have a couple of Confederate activities we want to remind you all about. First of all, on this Saturday, April 30th in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, there's going to be Confederate Memorial Day. Come and honor those who wore gray. For information or details, call James DeShields after 6 o'clock Monday through Friday at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. In addition to that, we have the South Carolina League of the South having a meeting. Normally, we have the Greenville County Taxpayers Association also meeting the exact same Thursday night during the month. And that's too bad because that's also a good meeting to attend. That occurs at the downtown Greenville Library. But the League of the South meeting will be occurring at the Woodruff Road Prime Sirloin Restaurant Meeting Room, which is right across from the Greenville Mall. Starts at 6:30 p.m. tomorrow night, April 28th, and it will be meeting for an hour or so. They are going to be supporting and talking about some of their political activities and what they'll be supporting. And they're currently supporting H.R. 3213 to end abortion and H.R. 3652 to give parents tax credits to allow them to get out of public schools. I think this is talking about the latest revision of PPIC. And so if that is indeed the case, please, folks, everyone needs to show up there and express their opposition to these good Confederate folks to the PPIC bill, because it is an evil bill, a neocon bill that's trying to subvert our rights and to intrude into homeschooling by monitoring people who do that, who practice that. So by all means, show up to both of these events if you can, the Confederate Memorial Day down in Clinton this Saturday, or to the Prime Sirloin tomorrow night for the South Carolina League of the South and express your opposition to the Put Parents in Charge Act. That's an important thing, folks. Don't want to forget to do that. Well, speaking of government intrusion into the lifestyle and the redistributive programs as proactive activities in the world, Fox News reports that a group sues over Christian colleges funding. In Anchorage, Alaska, a group advocating the separation of church and state has sued the Federal Education Department over funding for a tiny Christian college with predominantly Alaska Native or American Indian student body. Alaska Christian College in Soldotna is just 37 students, but has received more than $1 million in federal money in the past 2 years, according to the Freedom from Religion Foundation. By the way, although that sounds like a lot of money, there are thousands of programs, I believe. There's a lot, maybe over 1,000 that I can just recall. That go to the various groups, subsidies for this, that, or the other, small amounts of money, a relatively small amount, $1 million or less, or maybe a couple $1 million to various entertainment centers and to subsidize certain activities, agricultural activities, for instance, scientific development. These things are just part and parcel of the pork and favor brokering that goes on in the normal political process. Most people are unaware of them, and when you consider trillion-dollar budgets, it really doesn't amount to a whole lot. It's not even close to a percentage point when you add all of them together, and so they're pretty much unnoticed. But they're picking on this one because obviously it's a Christian college, and people on the left hate Christian colleges, they hate Christianity, and so they want to make sure the government doesn't fund it. The college is affiliated with the Evangelical Covenant Church in Alaska. It's just promoting religion. Annie Lowry Gaylor, co-president of the Wisconsin-based foundation, said Tuesday the group's lawsuit was filed Thursday in Wisconsin. The group hopes to prevent the school from receiving $435,000 in allotments inserted by Republican Representative Don Young in a federal spending bill passed November. He obtained $400,000 for the school the previous year. Young did not immediately return a call for a comment about appropriation. Alaska sends... Senators Ted Stevens and Lisa Murkowski also got the school $200,000 for a counseling center, according to the group. College President Keith Hamilton said Tuesday the college, which offers a two-year degree, undergoes a rigorous process before receiving the money. Throughout this granting process, ACC, that's Alaskan Christian College, has acted with integrity and honesty and has spent the money in a manner which has been approved by the Department of Education, said a statement issued Tuesday by the college. Hamilton said the college helps students make the transition from village life to larger schools. He said half of the students next year will be matriculating at Kenai Peninsula College. Students also have had credits transferred from various other colleges and universities, including the University of Alaska Anchorage and the University of Alaska Fairbanks, he said. Soldotna is a city of about 3,800 on the Kenai Peninsula, 150 miles south of Anchorage. Interesting story. What do we think about that from a Christian worldview? I mean, we like the Christian college. This is an evangelical school. We can't be opposed to it, certainly religiously, although I don't know, maybe the doctrine is more liberal than just meets the eye by reading this story. Don't know a lot about this little Christian college. Perhaps some of our callers or listeners do, and you can call in and give us a clue about it. But the real question is, there are really two issues that are brought up here. First of all, there is this farce about the separation of church and state that needs to be addressed. When Thomas Jefferson wrote a letter that said there ought to be a wall of separation between the church and the state, he was writing to a Baptist church in Danbury, Connecticut, that was being forced to pay a religious tax that went against the principles of that particular church by supporting religious beliefs that it did not hold to in Connecticut. This church had objected to paying the tax and actually had revolted and rebelled against paying the tax, and Thomas Jefferson came and supported this church by this letter. The separation of church and state doctrine that he was proclaiming was that the church should be completely shielded from the state. Not that the state could never support the church. It was just the opposite. The state could not attack the church. That was the whole point of the separation of church and state idea of Thomas Jefferson and the Danbury Baptists. So this is all a myth. These kind of leftist groups that come up that hate religion, that hate Jesus Christ, that hate Christianity, they're just trying to change history, to change the wording of things to change the meaning of the words used in order to get their ultimate objective, their hatred of Christianity. The other issue is whether or not Christian colleges or anyone should be willing to accept federal money. And that's a bigger issue, and we're going to talk about that as soon as we get back from a quick break here. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be right back.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking, and we'll soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or a comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
What do we do when we, that is us, the good guys, are not getting all that we want out of life, and we need more money? Can we turn to the state and ask for support? Would it be right for us to do so? I argue that it's wrong for Christians to do so. And that may surprise you because you're thinking, well, Dr. Coben, wouldn't it be great to use state funding like the Alaska Christian College has done to get some cash from the taxpayers to go ahead and promote the gospel? I mean, why not? We're paying all this money in. Why not just go ahead and get it out? Well, the reason is simply this. All proactive policy, whether it supports the church or otherwise, is wrong. It's not only not the function of government and is the function of a proactive state, but it leads to the theft from one class of people, one group of people, and giving to another. It's the benefiting of one person at the expense of another. And as Christians, we cannot support this because it is extortion. It is stealing. It is wrong to use taxpayer money in any way to benefit other people. Who are, whatever they might be, having great purposes or not. We would be outraged, most Christians, I should say, would be outraged to hear that there was homosexual art being funded or abortion being funded. And the same thing should be true if they're going to be consistent for their getting support for things like Christian colleges. Government's role is not to loot one group of taxpayers and give it to another. Group of taxpayers. The role of the state is simply, of government, should simply be to protect us from predators. So I think Alaska Christian College is making a prudent political choice by trying to get money as it has, and apparently very successfully through their senators and so forth. But I think it's morally wrong for them to do so. I think they're in sin by receiving a government subsidy. And I think all colleges that receive government subsidies are also sinning. Now, does that mean that the education that goes on there is wrong in general because they're committing the sin? I don't think there's a necessary conclusion one could draw that way. Now, perhaps they really are bad in so many areas that the education is bad at this school. I have no idea. But certainly they are missing the mark by looting taxpayers and benefiting themselves in this way. The correct vision of the, or the correct position based on the vision of the founders is that the state should not be used to redistribute money from anyone. Just like the quotation you heard during the break, it's just not right. Davy Crockett had said it's not right for the state to appropriate other people's money, taxpayers' money, to benefit private institutions. And that could be individuals on welfare or food stamps. It could be students receiving loans to go to school. It could be colleges receiving grants. It could be farmers receiving subsidies. It could be tariff rules or regulations that benefit one industry or one firm in relation to all others or against the industries of other nations. These are evil things that do not help the economy, and we have to reject them as wrong-headed and extortion as they are. So this story brings up a couple interesting points, one about the fallacy of this so-called modern separation of church and state doctrine, and the second part is about why Christians should not support redistribution programs at all, of any kind of proactive policy of the state. Anyway, I thought that would be of interest for you to consider this morning. A lot of Christians just assume it's okay for Christian colleges and churches to get a little bit of loot from the state. I think this is a wrong move, folks. I support the church as much as possible as well. I support Christian colleges. It's a wonderful thing. My children will go to Christian colleges. Glad they're there, but I'm not in favor in any way of socialist redistribution plans, which rob one group and benefit another, even if it's my own group, because I realize the sword cuts both ways, folks. Too, I mean, if they're going to start funding us, they're going to start funding all sorts of groups against us. And knowing the nature of the state, in the long run, we're going to be the big losers on that one. If you're just a pragmatist, you should be aware of this sort of activity as well. Any rate, got a note too from Corey Burnell, our good friend who heads up the Christian Exodus movement. And he's actually responding to a letter that he was copied on from the Tyranny Response Unit. That's me, Dr. John Coben. He says, "Dear South Carolina members and friends, the Tyranny Response Network is a Christian Exodus-friendly and Southern Patriot radio station in Greenville broadcasting Christian constitutional content every day." That's true. That's what we do on the Christian Worldview show, and that's what we are, Southern Patriot Radio Station. I hadn't thought of ourselves as a Southern Patriot Radio Station, but it is true. We are a Southern Patriot Radio Station, so I appreciate Corey bringing that up. He says, "You can hear the Tyranny Response Network at www.policyofliberty.net, which many of you already knew. He said, "I received the following request from Dr. John Coben today, that we call in the show and talk to the show, Christian Worldview, talk on the show on the air. You can call us at 864-244-8177, which is our new line number. We also have the alternative line, in case you can't get through, and that's 864-201-6955. He said, "Many more people will start hearing us on the FM version late next week. There will be a transmitter that will be installed with has 10 times the power that is currently available. For what I understand from the Tyranny Response Network management, there are going to be some upgrades going on to the broadcast signal. So that's good news for people who have not been able to hear the show on FM but have been wanting to." So at any rate, Christian Exodus people are needed to support this project. There are some needs. Not only for equipment at the Tyranny Response Network, but also for locations for future transmitters and so forth. If you live up on a hilltop somewhere and you're in the Christian Exodus movement, take heed to what Corey Burnell has said and send a note to the Tyranny Response Network. The production staff links are all located on the homepage, which is policyofliberty.net, and they'll be able to direct you to how you can be of great help. Don't hesitate to call. Don't think that other people will call in and you need not bother or someone else will take care of it. You be the one that takes care of it, and by doing so, you'll be a great blessing to others. Appreciate Corey Burnell making mention of those things in his little address there this morning or last night when he sent that out. Well, Christian Worldview is a show for thinking people, and as a show for thinking people, there are a number of links and articles and so forth that are there available for you at policyofliberty.net. I just received a letter this morning from a man in Arizona who was perusing the webpage. And the webpage, Policy of Liberty, is perused by many people all over the world. There are some exciting things that are happening all over the world. In fact, my book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, has just been translated, I understand, into Spanish by Luis Tapia in Lima, Peru, who is a very big enthusiastic supporter of our understanding of public policy from a Christian perspective. And that book will now be will soon be available on the policyofliberty.net website. There are many other resources there on the website. We encourage you to visit the website and take advantage of what you can find there. It's helpful for you as a thinking Christian to not only listen to the audio segments, but also to read the articles there and get better informed and make a difference in your world. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We'll be back in a few minutes.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of 6 homeschool children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And of course, we welcome you back into the show. Currently 48 degrees in Greenville, going to get up to 67 degrees today. So a few clouds here and there that are even saying that someplace might even have an isolated shower. But it's going to be a beautiful spring day in Greenville, so if you're getting on your way out to work, you can mourn the fact that you'll be inside an office all day if that's where you happen to be, cooped up in there while the weather is so nice outside and elsewhere. You know, yesterday I had a unique opportunity. Well, it wasn't unique, but occasionally I like to listen to other talk radio shows. It's not very common that I do that because the babble that goes on the airwaves here in South Carolina is so degenerate and so silly most of the time. That I don't really care to listen to them, the popular show hosts. Now, I realize they're popular, and the show hosts do like to please the population nearby, but they just don't have a lot of content that's really worthwhile spending time. You do much better, I think, by just reading a book or reading an article on the internet. These are much more valuable uses of one's time and to listen to most of the babble that goes on the airwaves today. But there are a few shows which provide some entertainment. And let me back up. I'm not making some like moralistic judgment on other people that do listen to these shows. In fact, I applaud and appreciate very much those of you who would listen to the local broadcasts or the national broadcasts and then call into the show making critical comments. I think that's a vitally important function. It's something that's useful to do. I just haven't chosen to want to get on the air with one of these guys and you know, go five rounds or something like that, because I don't think that they have the capacity or the background to deal with some of the deep issues that I'm interested in dealing with. And they may know a lot about news headlines or you know, trends of the day or fads or whatnot, but when it comes right down to really understanding a Christian theory of public policy or the vision, the libertarian vision of the founding fathers, they're just remiss completely. I haven't found anyone who really has those things nailed down in the local area whatsoever. Nevertheless, there is Calling for Truth, which is a program run by Dr. Paul Dean of Providence Baptist Church. It can be heard on 660 AM in Greenville. Don't mean to make an advertisement for that particular station, knowing that they are basically a weak Christian station, not a whole lot of strength there as far as I'm concerned, or backbone to uphold what is true. And I think I have pretty good reason to say that, and judging from some of their past performance. However, they do have Dr. Paul Dean on there, who has a show on called Calling for Truth, in which he discusses Christian biblical counseling and worldview ideas to some extent, much more theological than public policy oriented. And there's some good things that one can hear on that show. Now, I realize some of it's milquetoast, and you'll be disappointed if you listen all the time to the show, but once in a while there's some interesting stuff that goes on there, and I would encourage you to check it out. It may not hold your interest for long, but on the other hand, it might be something worthy of considering. I know that that Pastor Dean is very much in line with us, those of us who listen regularly to the Christian Worldview show, in wanting to have a proper integration of theology into public policy and to understand the vision of the founding fathers. He's with us, even though his field of study is not in this area. But I think his program airs from 1 to 2 o'clock every day, and it, again, is worthwhile listening to at 6:60 a.m. Well, yesterday I was listening to the show, and I had an opportunity to call in because they were talking about some biblical counseling themes, which I thought were quite intriguing. Not being a strict theologian where all I do is delve into theological issues all day, it has maybe perhaps limiting, it holds my interest for only a limited amount of time. But one thing that did pique my interest was something I'd heard at the Southern Heritage Conference about Robert E. Lee and about his godly character and the decision he had to make in choosing not to be part of the Northern regime in their army and choosing instead to head up the Southern forces, or to be, if not at that point, in charge of the Southern forces, a large part in leading the Southern forces. And I thought, you know, from a Christian point of view, this must have been a very difficult decision for him. Not only because, you know, he was going to have some personal loss or personal problems on account of his decision to choose the right side or the side of the South, but because his decision would have consequences for thousands of other people. And perhaps he had the foresight to realize and understand that as the North would aggress the South and Lincoln's armies would invade, they would plunder people, they would cause property damage and kill people. And many Southerners were going to die under the command and leadership of Robert E. Lee. In fact, there were probably many Christians in the North who were forced by the draft up there to fight in Lincoln's army, that Christians would be then compelled to shoot. So one Christian shooting another Christian in many cases. Now, I'm not speaking of the nefarious generals like Grant and Sherman and these kinds of reprobate people who came down here and marauded, plundering the South. I'm talking about the rank and file who were compelled, because they didn't have $300 to commute their draft sentence, to be enslaved into the Southern Army, Northern Army. Of course, the Southern Army, by the way, I mentioned that quickly, they did have a draft too, which was also evil, but especially in the North. What would you do if you were forced into an army and then forced to go and shoot other Christians? You wouldn't know who the Christians were, obviously, while you're shooting, and there'd be random fire. But could you, in good conscience, be a Northerner and a Christian and come and fight against the South, invade the South. I think the South has an easier justification for a Christian shooting another Christian, if there is one, because they're the ones who are being invaded and aggressed. You know, if Christians from your church come into your home with guns and start shooting up the place and try to, you know, plunder your home, I think you can make a case that you could shoot those people, even though they're your brothers. And maybe if they're in sin and mentally incapacitated for the moment, you might just wound them or something and then haul them away to the hospital. But it is a problem when Christ tells us that we're supposed to, it tells us that there's greater love than this has no man than that he lays down his life for his friends, and that we are supposed to do good to all men, especially those of the household of faith. There is a little bit of a contradiction, don't you see, or a conundrum, I shouldn't say contradiction, a paradox that is posed for a Christian. Well, this is just some food for thought here. When we come back from the break, we might pick this up and discuss it a little bit further. If you have a comment on that, on the whole issue, I'd appreciate your call here at Christian Worldview. You can reach us at 864-244-8177 on our new line. We'll be back in just a minute.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your nonprofit professionals, that's npros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
You know, if you scroll down on the policyofliberty.net website, at the bottom of that page, you'll find a couple of links there. One is the Deep Questions link for Dr. Coben's radio show. And I've encouraged all of you to read those questions from time to time and try to respond to them by email or even call into the show and discuss them. They are questions that are of truly great importance for those of us who want to be thinking Christians. There are 20 questions listed, and this question number 19 is a more recent addition, and it deals with this very topic about Christians and self-defense and engaging in warfare against other Christians, and just how a pastor might have counseled someone like Robert E. Lee. Can you imagine being the biblical counselor and then Robert E. Lee showing up at your doorstep, knowing the guy's godly character and his devotion to Christ? What would you tell him? What would be your advice to him as a Christian to go out and resign from the Northern Army, stay in there, rebel, so to speak, against the North? It's because he didn't see himself as rebelling, of course. He saw himself as seceding and doing his doing what he had the right to do, or Virginia had the right to do under the Constitution, and secede. However, you know, the North didn't view it that way. I shouldn't say the North generally, but Lincoln and his cronies didn't see it that way. And they resisted him. Many people in the North were in favor of secession. It wasn't a problem with Northerners in general, but it was indeed with the government of the day or the state of the day. Well, anyway, question 19 of this on this link says this: may Christians kill each other in self-defense? What about Christians who are enlisted in the military? For instance, there were undoubtedly professing believers on both sides in both the American War for Independence and the War between the States. Is it sinful to kill a Christian brother who is attacking you and an opposing army? Even if you're the invading army. Well, if you're the invading army, I'm going to pause here for a minute. If you're in a little bit of a different situation, my guess is, and if there's an unjust war, which the aggression from the North was, you would be in sin for attacking the South. It would be wrong for you to be in the opposing army and to shoot Christians in the South. That would be the same thing as invading their household. It doesn't matter if the government forced you to be in the army. Really, you could simply lay down your arms and refuse to fight and suffer death yourself at the hands of the army and the North rather than attacking your brethren in the South. I don't think there is a just way that a Christian in the North could be. I don't think there's a way a Christian could be just in the North and attack the South. You may differ with me about that, but I don't see how a Christian can go and attack another Christian and knowingly attack people that are Christians being an aggressor like this. And if he dies, if he's shot at by a Christian in the Southern Army who is protecting his homeland, my guess is he's just got a consequence. It's a sad thing, but it's a consequence of his sin. He's living in sin and doing something sinful, and because of that, he loses his life. Sad, but I think that that's just a consequence of a sinful behavior. Anyway, continuing on with this question. What special obligation, if any, does a Christian have to know about the spiritual condition of his assailant? Well, do you have to know anything about the spiritual condition of the assailant? I would say not. Think about it. Somebody's about to assault your wife or is in the home with a gun and about ready to shoot. I think your first duty is to assume the worst because he's doing something bad right now and return fire or fire first. If you can, and stop the assailant. Now, you may not choose to kill him, especially if you happen to know that he's a churchgoer and a Christian and so forth, you might not want to kill him if you can avoid it. But nevertheless, if he's aggressing you, I don't think you have a requirement to know something about the spiritual condition of the assailants. Is it any different, though, when we know that the people are apostate? Let's say we're attacking the Iraqi army. We're sent over there by George W. Bush, and Christians are inscripted into the army or forced to go over there and fight. That didn't actually happen, obviously. Let's assume that it had. You know that most of the people in the Iraqi army, the vast majority, are non-Christians. Does that make a difference? Can you go ahead and kill them and not feel so badly about it? Well, in one sense, you'd have to say, yes, you can, because the Bible gives you a special command to, as it says in Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. But this is this sword cuts both ways, I guess we could say, because the verse says we are to do good to all men. That doesn't sound like conscripting or being conscripted or otherwise going into the army and aggressing them. It doesn't seem like we can justify that. But it does say that we have a special obligation to those who are of the household of faith, which would mean that, yeah, maybe it would be worse to attack people who are known to be Christians than non-believers. I think I could agree with that. But still, both are bad things. And maybe we're getting down to the splitting hairs variety, saying who's worse, Stalin or Hitler? They're both pretty bad. Yeah, Stalin was actually worse, but doesn't make Hitler an angel by saying that Stalin is worse than him. So in the same thing here, I'm not sure that we can really be just either when we're attacking infidels or those who are outside the faith, even if it is better than killing Christians. What does God want us to do with unbelievers? Does he want us to kill them? Some people say yes. They violated the first commandment. They're subject, therefore, to the state should punish them with death. Some people might go that far. As far as I can understand in the New Testament, our obligation is to witness to these people, to preach the gospel to them in hopes that they might be saved. Our goal is not to attack and kill them or use the state to bother these people. So anyway, you may have a comment or a question about that, and we welcome them here at Christian Worldview this morning on a very interesting topic. One way to avoid the problem, continuing with question 19, is for Christians to not enlist. But what if he's conscripted? So obviously, don't enlist if it's an unjust war. If you're conscripted, you have to rebel. I think that's the only answer. You can't be drafted. And should Christians resist the draft? Yes, they should resist the draft. The draft is slavery, something that's wrong. If so, would that include resisting the draft in wars of national defense, too? This is a harder question, because in the South they had conscription. They were defending their own country. But I still, even then, even though it's just a just cause, I don't think the just cause or the end of the just cause justifies the means of just by just drafting and forcing people in an enslaved manner to fight for the country. So I would say that even in wars of national defense, the draft is wrong. Or could we say in confidence, continuing with the question 19, that Christians can only enlist to defend their country but not to attack another one, thus leaving no room for Christians to have rightfully been part of either the British or Northern armies? Yes, I say that is absolutely right. I think, too, of Iraq and Vietnam. I think Christians should have nothing to do with those wars either. Even if the premise of Christians in combat is accepted, how can the righteous brother in the defending armor justify killing his sinning brother in the opposing armor? He can't justify it. But if the Christian enemy or the enemy is a Christian who's attacking you, I think you can defend yourself. I think it is a right thing. And I think that's what you could have told Robert E. Lee. If they aggress you, then you have a right to defense. Should Christians favor implement the use of weapons of mass destruction, knowing that innocent people, including many Christians, will be killed? How can one's theology of warfare be reconciled with Galatians 6:10, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith? I do not think that weapons of mass destruction are a good thing, and I don't think killing innocent people is ever good. Hiroshima was an atrocity. It was a horrible thing where hundreds of thousands of people who were oppressed by the state of Japan were slaughtered by an American bomb, and I think this is a tragedy and a terrible thing. Christians should not be supporting weapons of mass destruction. Can't see any good use for them. Now, other people might call in and say, well, that's not the case, but folks, you cannot use a weapon of mass destruction and kill innocent people. The only people you should defend yourself against are the actual aggressors in any particular war or any particular criminal action. So, any rate, you're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We're a little bit over for our break, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media, Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
We don't want to forget Roosevelt's attack on the judiciary, says Jacob G. Hornberger. This is posted on lewrockwell.com, this particular story. He says the following: Republican attacks on the judiciary bring to mind what unquestionably was the fiercest attack on the independence of the federal judiciary in American history, the infamous court-packing scheme of Democrat President Franklin D. Roosevelt. Well, there certainly had been instances of government regulation and welfare prior to FDR's presidency. The long-established American tradition had been based on free enterprise, that is, free from government regulation, wealth accumulation, especially prior to the enactment of the 16th Amendment of 1913, and private charity as compared to government welfare. Breaking with that long tradition, Franklin Roosevelt ushered in one of the most revolutionary economic transformations in history. Under his New Deal, the primary purposes of the federal government became to regulate business enterprise and tax and redistribute wealth in the form of government welfare. Consider, for example, his 1933 National Industrial Recovery Act, NIRA, which directed the heads of all major industries in the country to jointly establish codes that would set minimum prices and wages for their respective industries. All businesses within each industry were then prohibited by law from competing with lower prices and wages. Insanity. Any farmer who refused to follow the new federal regulations was also subject to criminal prosecution if they violated the Agricultural Adjustment Act to control the production of crops on farms all across the nation. Later came the Social Security Act, an idea that had originated from German socialists during the regime of Otto von Bismarck, the Iron Chancellor of Germany. Social Security was a government welfare scheme by which money was taxed from the young and productive and distributed to the elderly. While Roosevelt sold his New Deal as a way to save America's free enterprise system, the truth was that his regulatory taxing and welfare schemes were directly contrary to the principles of the free enterprise and private charity. Not surprisingly, many Americans who had been raised to believe that government had no more business helping people with their economic problems than it did with their religious problems were shocked over the new paternalistic way of life proposed by Roosevelt. FDR's revolutionary New Deal plan encountered two big problems, the Constitution and the U.S. Supreme Court. When cases challenging the NIRA and the AAA reached the Supreme Court, it held that both laws in violation of the Constitution. During Roosevelt's first term, the court ruled that other parts of his radical economic scheme were unconstitutional as well. Of course, Roosevelt didn't like that. The obvious course would have been to seek a constitutional amendment, which would have legally authorized the transformation of private property free market system into a regulated welfare state system. Roosevelt would have none of that, not only because it was time-consuming, but because he successfully convincing American people to permanently change their economic system might have proved difficult. Instead, he came up with a shortcut plan designed to circumvent the constitutional amendment process and the Supreme Court decisions against his New Deal. Sold as a way to help an overburdened 9-member Supreme Court, FDR's plan requested Congress to permit the president to appoint an additional Supreme Court justice for every justice over 70 years of age, thereby expanding the size of the court. By enabling him to appoint new justices who were committed to his economic philosophy, Roosevelt figured that the newly aligned court would start voting in his favor. Despite his enormous popularity, the American people, to their everlasting credit, rose up in arms against Roosevelt's court-packing scheme, and as a result, the Congress failed to enact it. Americans didn't like their president tampering with their constitutional order. Nevertheless, Roosevelt ended up getting what he wanted. After Justice Owen J. Roberts' controversial vote in favor of sustaining constitutionality of the state minimum wage law in 1937, the case of West Coast Hotel versus Parrish, followed Roosevelt's appointments to replace retiring justices, never again did the Supreme Court declare his economic schemes unconstitutional. So sad as it was, a day in American history when that happened. But, you know, I was going to mention, in case you didn't already know, and many of our listeners already do, Roosevelt was not the first liberal to start this, to do this sort of thing. The first great liberal, in the modern sense, of this, in the presidency, was a man by the name of Abraham Lincoln. This was not just a normal liberal. This was a very nefarious, wicked liberal, a liberal who went out of his way to destroy the Constitution, destroy Americans' livelihoods, to destroy private property, and to kill thousands and thousands of people. This was a man who was so brutal in a quest for his power that he made even his wife and others to look upon him and his actions as being atrocities. His great general at the end, Ulysses S. Grant, was called the Butcher. He was so incredibly brazen and careless and reckless in his attitude towards human life. Well, typical of all liberals today, I might add. I don't see much difference between them and the modern liberals of our day. Nevertheless, old Abe Lincoln had some trouble with the court, too. Remember, even though the Southerners abandoned Congress and gave up their lifetime seats in the U.S. Supreme Court in Washington, leaving all sorts of appointments available for Lincoln at the court, even though that happened, the court still threatened to impeach Lincoln for suspending the writ of habeas corpus. He was about to arrest the Supreme Court justice. The man hated the Supreme Court because the Supreme Court opposed him and told him that what he was doing was wrong, to declare war without Congress being in session and doing many other things that he did. Well, Lincoln was still not able to get his way with the Supreme Court. And so midterm, I believe it was in 1863, he petitioned his friends in Congress, these radical Republicans and others, to give him a 10th seat, and he got it. So Lincoln was successful in packing the court, and when there were 10 members on the court, there was a smooth sailing for Lincoln all the rest of the way. He was able to get what he wanted passed through. Going over the heads, essentially, by adding a 10th seat to the Supreme Court. So people, that's a little, even apparently a lesser known fact of history, that Lincoln did that with success, what FDR tried to do and was not able to do. Interesting discussion about this stuff. How many folks in public school, who went to public schools or otherwise, know these facts of history? They're taught that Abe Lincoln was a great old guy. The guy was completely evil, folks. He was the one who destroyed American liberty. Now, FDR also did very bad things. In fact, if he hadn't had Lincoln to build on, he probably wouldn't be able to do near the evil that he'd done. But nevertheless, with that foundation of Lincolnism, he was able to do grievous things to the United States. And we have moved, indeed, into a socialist society pretty much because of FDR. We don't even know we're in a socialist society. We just have these huge taxes and regulations and redistribution and proactive policies. People don't even realize how egregious they are and how far they are away from the vision of the founders. We're here to hopefully resolve some of that and at least get Christians informed on the vision of the founding fathers and the principles of liberty once again. And to that end, you are listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
Life, liberty, and property do not exist because men have made laws. On the contrary, it was the fact that life, liberty, and property existed beforehand that caused men to make laws in the first place. Frederick Bastiat.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
The people never give up their liberties, but under some delusion. Edmund Burke.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis. Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy,
MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'll welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Currently about 49 degrees here in Greenville. Going to get up to 67 degrees under partly cloudy skies today. A beautiful spring day. As you're making your way out to work, you can think about the beautiful weather outside. Unless you happen to have the fortunate day of working outside, like some of you probably do. The rest of you be cooped up like me inside an office in front of a computer, oblivious to how the weather is outside and the good climate and so forth. At any rate, that's the weather for today. We want to remind you of a couple of Confederate events coming up, since we've just been talking about things of interest to Confederates. This Saturday, April 30th, in Clinton Square in Clinton, South Carolina, is Confederate Memorial Day. For information, call James DeShields after 6 o'clock in the evening at 864-969-5029. That's 864-969-5029. Tomorrow night, the League of the South will be commencing its Greenville County chapter, or recommencing it, 6:30 p.m. at the Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road. I hope you can attend that meeting, especially go there hoping to oppose the Put Parents in Charge bill, which has been so popular among many neocons and, unfortunately, many homeschool and Christian groups. We want to make sure that you oppose that bill, and if you don't know why you should oppose it, go to the policyofliberty.net website and read the articles or the links that demonstrate why it is a bad plan. Why Christians should be opposed to it. We want to go to the phone lines right now. We have a caller here on Christian Worldview. Glad that you've joined us here this morning. Who am I speaking with?
Nelson here, Doctor. Good morning.
Good morning, Nelson. Thanks for calling Christian Worldview. What's on your mind today?
Oh, well, I just want to commend you and thank you for all of your many heresies against the liberal colossus and for apparently not worrying at all whose toes you step on. This shows real intellectual and topical guts, Doctor.
Well, I appreciate that. And yes, we try our best to do that. We're not afraid to offend the liberals or the left establishment on this show. We're not afraid to call tyranny what it is, tyranny, and when it expose these people for what they are. So I appreciate your encouraging and kind words, Nelson.
Yes, well, you say it's not only the liberals that you're daring to disturb in their tranquility, but of course the numerous American jingoists that abound in all directions around us nowadays, even in the alleged buckle of the Bible Belt here. I was especially excited to hear you refer to the atom bombs over Hiroshima and Nagasaki as weapons of mass destruction, even as ultimate and emblematic weapons of mass destruction. That was pretty, I would like to say, witty, but it was a deadly serious assault on everything decent, wasn't it?
Yes, I believe so. I do my best. It's a little bit difficult when you're behind the radio mic and not having a prepared lecture, but appreciate your comment.
Fine. This is something people need to understand. Whether we were justified in getting into World War II, which I seriously doubt, it seems to me that most or all of what we did amounted to drastic overkill. We know, of course, that Roosevelt knew the Japs were planning to bomb Pearl Harbor. That's really almost old news now. We know that they deliberately misinterpreted and kind of lost track of the communications from the Japanese saying that they were considering our offer of surrender and all that. Folks may not know that the two cities I just named were the ones that had the highest content of Christian citizens in them.
Didn't know that, yes.
You think about it, why would those two towns, which I don't recall have ever been mentioned in any other context, be chosen? I'm not aware that they were a special military targets, are you? Come in here if you can.
Well, the line is, which is always questionable, is yes, they had a lot of industrial organization going on there that facilitated the materials that were needed to conduct the Japanese war machine.
Oh, I see. But I also wanted to mention the fact, the question of whether Christians can shoot each other across the battle line in a war. And this, I think, is blessedly more simple than most people may realize, in that any war that this federal government has sent people into since the 1860s, or since, let's see, I guess when would it be, long before that, has been an evil cause of some kind, and this government has acted as a Babylonish beast. So, certainly from World War II onward, there has been an easy question. No Christian can, under any circumstances, take orders from this government in wartime. Anyone that does is sinning against God and their Christian upbringing, and trampling the Constitution, even if they are conscripted into it. In my humble yet extreme opinion, sir.
Yes, well, that's a good opinion to have. Now, I assume you're excluding Southerners defending their land against the aggression from the North. And
yes, well, they were defending. They were not offending or aggressing, and so they're the exception. They were, of course, they were not being called by the Union federal government, headquartered in Babylon on the Potomac. They were trying to rescue themselves and their posterity from that very colossus of evil. So I think that the question is almost moot, since there has not been a just war since then.
Yes, well, now this is a very interesting topic. Can you hold on during the break? When we come back, I want to get your comments on World War II, especially because many people would see that as a just cause. And also, I want to ask your opinion when we come back about what you think about what George W. Bush might have known about the World Trade Centers being bombed. This came up at our discussion at California Dreaming last Friday, and it is quite an interesting topic. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, and we'll be back in just a minute.
Warning, Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Government is not reason. It is not eloquence. Government is force. Like fire, it is a dangerous servant and a fearful master. President George Washington.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported. And here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast. But we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NP Pros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's nppros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.nppros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Public schools will never excel because they lack intellectual capital and have to compensate for too many social problems. Daniel Golden.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177. You're listening to TRN, the Tyranny Response Network. It's roughage for your brain.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview, having a very entertaining discussion this morning with Nelson on the phone line. And Nelson, I asked you a couple questions before the break. Go ahead and see if you can respond to those.
Mm-hmm. Yes, well, let's see, where were we? We hit on a number of different things. I really do feel that, most people left to their own devices, and certainly most liberals and ideologues and pointy-headed intellectuals, the whole premise is that things are more complicated than what we foolish conservative yokels would like to make them out to be. But as far as I'm concerned, the joy and the fun and the exhilaration and the release of discovering and propagating the truth is liberating folks from that very idea.
Mm.
And they want to make it sound like, oh, well, America's help is needed in the war. America's influence is needed all over the world. I mean, the world needs America to come and save it, or it'll just go bust. Bust. America needs to get its own act together, and that's what its only job has ever been in the world, to lead by example. You know, I visited a church in the area that's got a reputation for being wonderfully conservative and even pro-South, and it was the first Sunday after the latest round of Gulf War had begun, you know, under Bush in response to W2Z. And they had this discussion of whether it's moral to go to war, and the church turned out to be full of ex-military professionals. And I tried to gently challenge them on their jingoism. And one of them said, predictably, I said, how can we reconcile this war with the scriptures? And one of them said, well, you know, the Bible tells us to go out and evangelize the world and make disciples and do good wherever we can. I somehow refrained myself from saying, with bombs and tanks.
Yes, and M16s. Yes, right. Go ahead and kill them all. In fact, in Hiroshima, it was even better because we gave them just that last chance to repent. We've lost Nelson here. Yes, the last second. We should have sent a leaflet down. Look, you're about to be obliterated by this nuclear bomb that's about to hit you, so repent. This is your last chance. You'll be in hell in 5 minutes unless you do. Maybe that worked real well. Yeah, it's a crazy idea. I agree with what Nelson had to say. Anybody who studies warfare and the history of the United States government in enacting these war policies has to end up saying, if they're really serious as Christians, now this is wrong. What we've done has been misled by the Pied Piper, by governments, by our state, into accepting all sorts of wrong-headed motives and actions. World War II, I was hoping Nelson would have told us about World War II. Maybe he'll call back tomorrow and give us a hint and clue about World War II. There, it seems like that might have been the other just war, going over and helping friends be liberated from somebody like Hitler. But we realize there are also many fallacies that were that were said about World War II. For instance, it seems like there's a lot of doubt, and I'm not an expert in this area, but a lot of doubt about how many people were actually killed during the Holocaust. Now, we know that there were not just Jews killed, although they claim to have this word, a monopoly on this word, Holocaust. There were also gypsies, homosexuals, Christians, a lot of other people that Hitler exterminated. Now, it probably wasn't 6 million Jews and 8 million of the other. It may have been a lot less than that. May only have been 1 million Jews and some others. There's some real question about the numbers. But nevertheless, this was a brutal socialist dictator running things in Germany. Did we have were we right and justified in going and helping people be free from his assault? Well, this is an interesting question that some people might raise. It's pretty clear looking at the other wars that they were just wars for economic benefit of one group at the expense of another. And it may have been that that George Bush even knew about the Twin Towers coming down, had a structural engineer making a case for that at the California Dreaming meeting we had last week, and a very compelling case. Again, I don't know. I can't pass judgment on whether he's right or wrong, because I don't know enough about structural engineering, but he claims that the jet fuel could have never got that hot, the story was simply a lie, that there was actually explosions going on all the way up and down the towers to knock it down, and it dropped straight down in the center like it would be expected if a planned demolition had occurred, that the planes were not scrambled to intercept these jets, the F-16s and so forth, because there were exercises going on and people were told not to do so. The only planes that did scramble were under a rebellious general over Pennsylvania who shot down the one plane over there. There's a lot going on, and some of it sounds, I know, like conspiracy theory, and maybe it is conspiracy theory, but if it's the truth, it's the truth. And I don't know. I'm not going to comment whether it is or isn't here on the show. I'm just going to bring you the alternative viewpoint, and listeners can call in and discuss this if they want to about what actually happened at that point. It seems like FDR knew it was happening, getting us into World War II, as Nelson Nelson said, there's a lot of evidence that he actually knew it and wanted to pull us into the war and use Pearl Harbor as an excuse, and some of the other things that happened in the Pacific or in the Atlantic. But at any rate, these are interesting questions when we judge the character and motivations of states. Appreciate Nelson's phone call this morning and stirring up these thoughts further and deeper than I had actually taken them to begin with, and I do think they're valid and valuable things to go over. Well, I wanted to get into a couple things right before the show ends today, and that has to do with the Social Security issue. We have a CBS News story that said there's a wide divide on Social Security today. Grandpa Grassley gets it, and he wants to make sure granddaughter Grassley does too, 50 or 60 years from now. Social Security, that is. The venerable government program was a political fodder Tuesday from the button-down confines of the Senate hearing room to a boisterous Capitol Hill rally, which attracted thousands of protesters to smaller demonstrations in 34 other cities across the nation. Democrats took on President Bush and his Social Security proposal with gusto, rebuffing pleas for bipartisanship from frustrated Republicans. If he's going to push for privatization, let him pack, Senator Dick Durbin, a Democrat from Illinois, said to cheers of a sun-splashed crowd on the lawn across the street from the Capitol. He was ridiculing President Bush's heavily publicized 60-day tour to build support for his proposals. Personal accounts unravel the Social Security safety net in a way that makes it hard to find common ground, said Ron Wyden of Oregon, one of the several Democrats who criticized the president's recommendations at a lengthy finance committee hearing. The Republicans didn't just sit and take it. Those of you that are bad-mouthing every other suggestion out there, suggest your own plans. Iowa Senator John Grassley, the normal mild-mannered committee chairman, erupted at one point during the hearing. So there's a big fight going on about Social Security right now. A lot of ignorance out there. Social Security is an evil, wicked redistribution plan that Christians must oppose. Christians who take Social Security, as I've said many times on the show, are sinning by doing so. There is no payment going in. It's not a savings account. It's simply you're being taxed. It's being called a contribution. You're being stolen from, being looted from. That's bad. It's not a sin to be stolen from. It's a horrible thing that it happens. But when your money is stolen, then it's taken and spent on anything the government wants to. When it comes time to so-called collect on your Social Security, you're simply extorting somebody else, looting somebody else who's working, and then in order to transfer his money to you. That's all it is. It's a welfare program. Social Security is welfare. Christians must oppose it. Nevertheless, Bush doesn't go far enough, I should say, in trying to remedy the problem. He wants to privatize it, which is good. It's not as good as eliminating it, but it's better than just looting people. And here we have the liberals up in arms trying to say we need to keep it. Christians should not be in favor of Social Security survival in any way, shape, or form. When we come back from the break, I wanted to continue discussion on Social Security. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Disinfecting the modern mainstream media. Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Will Rogers said, "Those who complain about the high cost of government should be glad we're not getting all the government we're paying for."
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. This is your captain speaking. We want to thank you for flying TRN Airways. Now, if you'll just look out of your left side window, you can see the dense clouds of liberal lunacy commonly polluting the airwaves. On the right side, you can see clear skies full of common sense, liberty-minded conversation. Now, as we enter the Christian worldview airspace, we'll be experiencing clear-headed thinking and will soon be reaching logical conclusions. Feel free to recline your seat and enjoy the remainder of the flight. And thank you for flying TRN Airways.
We have the rights as individuals to give as much of our own money as we please to charity. But as members of Congress, we have no right so to appropriate a dollar of public money. Congressman Davy Crockett.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
If you have a question or comment for the show, please dial 864 864-244-8177. That's 864-244-8177.
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
And indeed, if you're a preacher who fears man, if your fear of God is not in, you'll never say what is said here on the Christian Worldviews program about Social Security. You want to lose your job fast, go ahead and stand up in the pulpit and tell the congregation that Social Security is welfare. And if you take Social Security, you're in sin against God. For he who let everybody should labor if he wants to eat, and he who doesn't labor should not eat. Let him who steal no more is what the commandment of the Apostle Paul is in Ephesians chapter 4. Preach that, my friends, my pastors who fear men, and you will lose your jobs. But you know what? If you love the truth, and if you believe God will honor your commitment to principle, then you need not fear man. It's more important for you, pastors, to stand up for the truth and tell people what's going on. Your job is not the most important thing in life. If you really have faith and you believe in the Lord Jesus and His providence, then you can trust Him to provide for your needs when you take a stand for what is true and what is right. Tell your congregation that they need to stop collecting Social Security benefits. They need to stand for righteousness and for principle and not continue looting other people through the welfare program that it is. Dispel the myths and lies about it and help them understand why it is indeed welfare and not a savings plan. Here's an interesting comment that the research staff found out about. Is there a trust fund? It actually is sent to us and is a letter from John D. McGinnis, who's an associate professor of finance at Penn State Altoona College. He says this: my 12-year-old niece, Virginia, wrote me this letter. My reply follows: Dear Uncle John, I have a teacher, Mr. Piro, who says that there is no trust fund for Social Security. When I asked Mom about this, she says, ask your Uncle John, and if he agrees, then it must be so. Please tell me the truth, Uncle John. Is there a trust fund? My dear Virginia, your teacher is wrong. He's probably affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. He's one of those who do not believe except what they see. Sure, there is no such thing as a commonly called trust fund to make Social Security secure. Your teacher has probably pointed out that a typical trust fund holds stocks and bonds, which secure present ownership and the future cash flows of particular capital assets. Social Security's trust fund seems to not have any capital assets in place at all. The only clue to this existence are the electronic IOUs the Treasury creates when it takes Social Security taxes and spends them on whatever it wants. But you should know, my dear Virginia, that there are capital assets now in place, and there will be many more in the future from which the Treasury will draw and continue Social Security. In fact, you yourself are one of those capital assets. Ooh, isn't that interesting? Human capital. Let me explain. When we provide an organization that starts a trust to purchase financial assets, stocks, and bonds, which give it ownership of capital assets, and the cash flows from those assets will generate. We think of business assets such as plant, equipment, patents, goodwill, and capital goods because they generate such cash flows over time. Your teacher sees no such assets set aside present Social Security. But there are indeed assets which the government owns and has set aside. You, me, and everyone else who tries to earn a living. Have you ever thought of yourself as an asset of the federal government? Well, apparently they think of you as assets. You see, Virginia, your government owns as a larger proportion of you and as much of your future earnings as it wants. Let me illustrate this with my own situation, Virginia. I'm 51 years old and have been taxed since I was 16 years old for Social Security. If those taxes had been invested in a diversified portfolio of large company stocks, I would have nearly $500,000 today. But even if the money had been invested in low-return treasury bills, I would have over $200,000. But what do I have instead? An order and a promise from the government. The order is that I will have to continue to pay taxes as long as I earn a living. The promise is that if I live to retirement age and the government will decide what that age is, I can then, and it's only so long as I stay alive, start to receive some return. There's nothing for me to bequeath. I would like to make an Uncle Sam an offer, Virginia. He can keep all the money he's taken from me in the past. I won't ask anything from him ever. Just let me out of Social Security. Do you see the trust fund now, Virginia? Uncle Sam is never going to let us out of this program because we are the capital assets that support it. We, my dear Virginia, are the trust fund owned and controlled by our government. Yes, Virginia, there is a trust fund. I'll stop reading his letter there. I think you see the point. In reality, there is no trust fund as commonly conceived. We do not. It does not exist. There is no capital assets that are there. There is no savings account. What he's telling you is that you're all slaves of the federal government, that you're there as its true capital assets, and only in this perverse sense does a trust fund actually exist, because of the human beings that are enslaved to the federal government by the tax and regulation system of the welfare state, started through Lincoln, Woodrow Wilson, and Franklin Delano Roosevelt, among others. Hope that's been helpful and insightful on the whole issue of Social Security. We'll bring it up again here on Christian Worldview. Glad you've joined us today. Look forward to talking with you again tomorrow on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Until then, God bless you.
You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben on TRN. Join us again tomorrow morning right here at 97.7 FM on the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.